We are going to say some strong language this time.
We already have a strong language warning.
No, no. We have a different kind. This is a strong language. We're talking like... advised. Brandon.
And I'm Justine.
And this is the Cozy Co-op, a podcast where a video game journalist and a creative writer talk about video games. Hello, Justine.
Hi, Brandon.
How are you?
I'm good.
This is weird because
How are you?
I'm doing good. Grud. You can tell I know how to speak those words. We're in my closet right now.
We are.
And this is weird because...
This is cozy as it gets.
It is so cozy. I didn't think it'd be this cozy, but it's nice. It's much quieter in here, so we're trying it out as a recording studio type situation. Spent all weekend cleaning this tiny room out, and I'm liking it so far.
A recording studio with a lot of silly hats in it.
Well, who do you think I am?
Silly Hat Man.
You've discovered my secret identity.
I have. I like your burrito towels in here as well.
I think towels are just meant to be rolled that way. It's so much better. Anyway, today's game is Doom.
It is.
The classic, the gory, the unnecessarily violent, but weirdly not toxically masculine.
No?
But we'll get into that later. Right now, we got some news to go through. First one is Fortnite. Big deal. Everyone's talking about it. There's a comet, like a shooting star type comet thing that people are seeing in the sky of Fortnite. And they're like, what is this weird giant comet? People notice he's making weird sounds. Then a bunch of telescopes appeared on the game's map in an area called the Tilted Towers, right in the middle section.
Okay.
People are like, why are there no telescopes in this area? Then, whenever you were in the Tilted Towers, people's controllers were vibrating. And they had deduced it was Morse code that stood for SOS D5 418.
What does that mean?
People believed it meant that an SOS was happening in section D5 on, I think it was 418, or was it 58? I don't remember. They suspected that it was going to happen, April 18th.
Yeah.
April 18th came, nothing happened.
Huh.
I don't think that's it. This is my speculation time. I think it's going to happen May 4th, 5/4/18. I don't know what the D stands for. The SOS can be presumably, SOS. I think it's going to, because season 3 of Fortnite, they do these weird seasonal things. Season 3 is space themed.
Okay.
It makes sense that a comet thing would happen here. I think it's 5/4/18, so season 3 ends April 31st. So 4 days after the end of season 3, some big thing might happen. That's my prediction.
Okay.
But right now, we don't know. There's just a weird comet going on that's freaking out Fortnite players. When the 18th of April came along and nothing happened, all of the players, instead of killing each other, got together and destroyed the entire area.
What?
Because this world's destructible. You can break down walls and stuff.
Yeah, they threw a fit.
So they basically said, okay, if this comet's not going to destroy the Tilted Towers, we will.
Oh my god.
So they destroyed an entire, complex, and it was this flat surface. It was beautiful.
Oh my. That's the biggest temper tantrum I think I've ever heard of.
I loved the amount of cooperation behind it.
Oh my. I guess. It takes a village, huh?
Next thing. Night Trap. Do you know this game?
No.
Night Trap came out 25 years ago, and it was controversial because this was the first time a major game had a woman in lingerie.
Oh, yes.
And it was like a full-motion video game, so it had that going on. And this actually, the controversy that stirred from that particular event actually caused the creation of the ESRB.
Yeah.
Because they're like, we need to tell people if these games are appropriate for children.
You've told me about this before.
Well, back then, Nintendo stated it will never come to a Nintendo console because it does not agree with their depiction of violence against women. Which makes sense, these aliens come and attack women. 25 years later, Night Trap 25th Anniversary Edition is to be released on the Nintendo Switch. Night Trap, watch out behind you. Very catchy tune, by the way. I'll have to play it for you later.
Okay.
Very catchy. is now on a Nintendo console. Nintendo even made a statement about it going, hey, things change over time. This has been 25 years. We're more okay with this. Which makes sense because Doom and Wolfenstein also are on the Nintendo
Switch.
Yeah,
you can't keep...
You're literally killing Nazis in one of them. That's... You can't get much more controversial.
Is that controversial?
It is, yeah. Enough for there to be a stink about it.
Okay.
Final All bit right. of news, a bit on the less silly side. The McElroy brothers, Griffin and Justin McElroy, have left Polygon.
Yeah, I didn't think they ever would. They kind of made it what it is.
Now, both of them, they have a third brother, let's not forget him, Travis, but he's not really associated with Polygon. Mm-hmm. He's not a game
journalist
professional.
Yeah.
These two, they started working for a guy called Chris Grant for a website called Joystick way, way back in, like, I can't recall when. Eventually, Joystick would go away, and it would lead to the creation of Polygon, which is now one of the biggest video game news outlets there
is.
Oh,
yeah. Actually, when I was doing research for Doom, I kept finding background on it, but I wanted to know more about, like, Doom's legacy and whatnot, and the mm-hmm. article that I found was from Polygon.
Oh, yeah. They're big-name people, top of the line. And Griffin and Justin helped co-found it. Well, throughout the last 6 years, the McElroy brothers have really expanded their repertoire. I mean, you're aware of all of this. They started their own podcast, My Brother and Me. They started a D&D podcast, The Adventure Zone, which I strongly attribute the reason Dungeons & Dragons is kind of having this resurgence. I think they made that happen.
I don't think it was them. I think they came
not solely,
in
though.
The midst of a D&D, because tabletop was around long before the Adventure Zone. Critical Role's been going for several years now. So the Adventure Zone was not the first.
I know. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying
it helped.
It did
get very popular. Yeah.
It absolutely played a part in why it's becoming this big thing it is now. They have YouTube series. There's video clips people have seen that they don't even go, oh, that's Griffin McElroy. Odds are you've seen their work, even if you don't know their names. Carboys.
Most people got exposed to the McElroys through, like, a couple of Vines.
Oh, yeah,
where
Vines.
You don't even really see them, but it actually is them.
Or last year's Banana Crunch.
Oh, yeah.
Look up Banana Crunch 2017. Have fun with that one. So, yeah, they have left. They had these very heartfelt goodbye resignation letters. Very touching. I wish them the best in all of their current endeavors.
Yeah, and... You can thank the McElroys for this podcast, I suppose, because it's what got us into podcasts.
That is true. Should I tell my journalism story that I've told you many times now?
I don't know what your...
My origin. What I call my origin story.
Sure.
So, I didn't used to listen to podcasts. I used to just listen to music at my boring warehouse day job. Until Justine here kept kind of bugging me to listen to The Adventure Zone. I almost said The Adventure Bros. Wrong thing.
The Adventure Zone.
The Adventure Zone. And I was like, okay, sure, I'll get into it.
I literally made you listen to it.
You did.
You came over to my house one time and I made you listen to part of one of the part with Clark.
Yeah, because, the beginning, Let There Be Gerblins. And I was like, oh, podcasts are actually kind of cool. It's like TV for your ear holes.
Yeah, this is what radio is.
So I realized I could have podcasts set up while I did my work at work.
Yes.
So I wanted more podcasts than just The Adventure Zone, so I went out and I found one called The Podquisition, which is a podcast by popular YouTube critic Jimquisition, Jim Sterling. He has a podcast. He does it with games journalist Laura K. Buzz. Proper name is Laura Dale now. She's mm-hmm. married, I believe. And Irish musician Gavin, who goes by, what's his name? Miracle of Sound on YouTube.
Okay.
Well, when I was listening to this podcast, I was like, wait a second. Video game journalist? That's a thing? I can do that? I can write words? Use my amazing way to speak words of such and use it to make money.
All right. Promising.
I was excited.
This is
because
why you're doing a podcast. I'm so good at the talking.
So good at the talk words. I never thought that writing about video games is something that someone could actually do, and I was ecstatic because I thought, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So last year, around May, I made up my own website. I started writing my own news posts. I still have the website. We get our news from that. And then throughout this last year, I've been growing and growing. And about half of my money is from freelance journalism. I'm making that push to make it full time.
He's making that bank.
Now I'm making podcasts. Like, I owe a lot to the McElroy brothers, as well as Laura Dale.
Quite inspiring boys.
Indeed they are.
I'm glad that they're moving on to, you know, focus more on the stuff that makes them happy and not spreading themselves
not working
so thin.
Themselves to
yeah.
Death. It was very relatable when I read Griffin's portion saying that he kept having this goal of trying to unlock the mysterious 54th or 25th, 26th, and 27th hour of the day.
Yeah.
I get that. You want to work more. So that's the last bit of news. Soft touch note. Now for something more hardcore.
Yeah, we did promise swearing, didn't we?
Fuck yeah.
Alright.
Doom.
Doom
is a revolutionary game.
It is.
Was it really 1992? I thought it was older than that.
Yeah, when I looked it up, it said the development started in 1992, and it was released in the December of 1993. And something that kind of surprised me was when I was reading that The Legacy of Doom article, one of the biggest points was the biggest reason it was such a smash hit at the time is like, yeah, a lot of people call it sort of the advent of first-person shooters
mm-hmm.
and that kind of thing. But what really made it stand out was its multiplayer aspect, and people were just lugging their huge monitors over to a friend's house and hooking them all up. And there was something about how tech stores couldn't keep up with the demand for the interface dongles that could help you hook up to other people.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently, the multiplayer aspect was not added until October of 1993, which is 2 months before the game released. So it was an afterthought.
Oh, wow. And I find this funny because no one remembers Doom for the multiplayer. I say that pretty securely nowadays. Because while it got that multiplayer kickstarted, other games came around and did it better. I can imagine people going, oh, God, I remember Quake. Mm-hmm. Playing Quake with friends or the first Team Fortress. I'm sure there are people that are like, oh, I loved Doom's multiplayer. But it's not what has stood the test of time.
I think a lot of Doom has stood the test of time.
But not the multiplayer.
Okay.
I'm secure
still,
in that statement.
It's still. I mean,
I say this in a mild bias in that I don't actually like the multiplayer in the most recent Doom.
Well,
it's not as good. It doesn't really embody what I like
from
about Doom.
My research kind of contradicts what you're saying, is a lot of people remember Doom for the multiplayer, and a lot of people still use the multiplayer and the level building and all of that stuff that came with Doom, because nobody else lets you do the modding like Doom did at the time.
Still is a strong word. I believe there are enthusiasts that might do it, but I wouldn't say a lot of people. I'd say there's a very select group of people who still make Doom.
Well, sure, but one of the creators, Romero,
mm-hmm.
even recently, in the last year, couple years, made another Doom level using the creator.
He's the creator!
Yeah, but he didn't do that for 20 years.
He got nostalgic then. I don't
know. Okay, I'm saying it's still happening.
Doom was not the first 3D game. Did you know that?
Yeah, they had, like, Wolfenstein and stuff.
Wolfenstein 3D was the first true three-dimensional game.
That came out just before Doom did.
Now, there are games like Star Fox that looked 3D, but it was what we call fake 3D, and that it was a 2D engine, but with all of the right code to seem like it's 3D.
Okay.
If that makes any
faking
sense.
Faking you out.
You know how, like, you watch TV and you're seeing 3D images?
Mm-hmm.
On a 2D screen.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that conversion from 3D to 2D process. Whereas Doom, it actually, like, renders a 3D world.
Mm.
It knows the third dimension. Whereas others that fake it only actually know two dimensions.
And there's a lot of movement involved in Doom, so I can see why
you
that would be
You do not
big...
stop moving in Doom.
Yeah.
Because, I can't say why because, but that is a staple that has survived in every single Doom game. Maybe not so much the third one was kind of more like a horror-y aspect. You don't stop moving in Doom because you will die.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually something a bit new for the time, because you used to be half the meticulous plan of movement. In other games you have to be careful about where you step, where this one it's saying don't move, don't stop,
and don't move,
it kind of don't move, don't stop, can't stop, won't stop.
Also, don't move.
Hey, Macarena.
I.
And that's actually a game design that they intentionally kept. Wow, I cannot talk today.
Just take your time.
I'm just so excited about Doom.
Oh my god. You were not even this tongue-tied over Starbound.
They kept that design philosophy for their future games, in that you never want to stop.
Yeah, I watched some gameplay today, and it was a little...
You're always moving. Every option it gives you is for more moving. One thing I had mentioned to you before is you don't reload your gun.
Mm-hmm.
None of your guns need reloading. You can run out of ammo, but you don't need to reload your gun.
That's stopping
because that
time.
Would stop the flow.
Yeah.
Which is actually why I don't... There's a VR version of Doom. Do you know that?
I did not.
Because Bethesda, who published the most recent Doom game, they're big on the whole VR thing.
Oh, no, yeah, you were telling me about this, because the motion thing.
I don't like how they did it, because they did it in that you teleport around. A common VR tactic to kind of reduce nausea. If you were running around like Doom does, yeah, you'll probably get simulator sickness, mm-hmm. That's for sure. So they did the teleporting. I don't like that, because... It chops up the flow of gameplay. I'm sure it works really well, but it doesn't feel like a Doom game anymore.
I mean, to be fair, though, when I was watching the gameplay to the original Doom, it was almost like teleporting. That dude, every step
He's
was
so
5
zippy.
Feet. Yeah.
You know you can't jump in the original?
You don't need to. Every step you take is 5 feet long.
You zoom about. There wasn't even a traditional control scheme back then. It was all keyboard stuff. The forward and back, you'd move forward and back. Left and right, you'd turn.
Mm-hmm.
Strafing as your standard key controls wasn't exactly established yet. That wasn't until... Oh god, what game did that? System Shock, maybe? Yeah, that was back before a good shooter control scheme had been established. Which makes it even more impressive that they can do these things that they do. Because the controls are not the easiest.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember one time I asked you why it seems like Doom... is the only game to get ported on too many ridiculous devices, and you actually had an answer for me.
I know what I would say now. I don't remember what I told you before.
Something about its coding being... Now you're asking me to give you an answer that you gave me, and I don't know what it was.
You see, if I always tell the truth, I don't have to remember what I said. Problem is, I don't always follow
were
the first half.
BSing me, then?
I don't know. What did I say?
I don't think you were. Something about how...
It's lightweight code?
Something like that.
That makes sense. Cause...
Like, it's really easy to port onto things, because it was the PC that it was made for at the time, it was not...
Because computers, like, my smartphone could probably run, like, 75 instances of Doom at the same time.
Wow.
Because technology has just advanced that far. Doom is very easy to run on modern technology. So we're taking our modern technology and seeing if it can't run Doom. Why Doom specifically is because a bunch of fanboy nerds get excited and try that. And I'm all for that.
Yeah, it runs Doom is a meme.
It is. You know that weird little LED touchpad on like the new Apple computers?
Yeah.
I've seen people port Doom onto that touchpad.
Well...
It's very stretched.
We had a conversation earlier about how someone... realized that ones and zeros of computer language translate very well into purl and knit stitches in knitting.
Mm-hmm.
There's the two primary stitches. And so you could conceivably knit Doom, which is, in fact, full circle, because that's how we got computer memory to start with, was basically weaving and knitting.
Oh, yeah. Ones and zeros.
Yes, and that's, like... Without going into the whole history on that, that's how we got Apollo to the space.
I cannot imagine that would it be a blanket or like a scarf, do you think?
I would say scarf, because that's...
I cannot imagine it would look good.
No, it would be very... It would be longer than, what, the Fifth Doctor's scarf? That ridiculous thing?
Yeah, because even a game that old, that's still a lot of binary.
This would be like 3,000 feet of scarf.
Binary takes 6 characters to display 1 character.
Yes. So... But... You know, you can port Doom into a scarf.
Into a scarf.
I
tried getting it on my watch. Somebody's making that happen, but they've not made
the
project public.
Here's a list.
Okay.
I have found of some odd things that shouldn't run Doom, but have. One of them is a printer, specifically a Canon Proxima. And the reason it was run on...
What, a Canon what?
Proxima.
Proxima? Let me see. Damn. I have a Pixima, I
you
think.
You could.
I probably could run it on mine.
But the reason they did it is because this particular line of Canon printers had some security issues.
Oh, yes.
And so someone ran Doom on it in order to show how easily it can be hacked.
You know, the Switch is actually having the same problem right now.
Ah.
Apparently, some hackers have found out that the Switch hardware, they can hack it. They know that hardware specifically. So they've created what they call an unpatchable hack. Which means the only way to not be able to, you know, hack a Switch is if Nintendo updated the hardware they use.
Yeah.
Granted, this doesn't really mean anything for anyone. Like, if you want to pirate Switch games, there's an option for you now. But even the hackers who made this thing said that they don't support piracy. They just like fan-made content.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Go on. I digress.
An oscilloscope, which is a device that measures electronic signals. If you've ever seen one, it's like...
It's my favorite Pokemon.
It's like 65% knobs and switches and 35% screen.
Oh, yeah.
So this thing is a complicated little machine.
It tracks like sound waves, doesn't it?
Yes. It measures electronic signals, so yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
An ATM, because it was running Windows 95, I think.
Oh, yeah, they do.
A Commodore 64.
Of course.
And I actually watched the video of Doom running on a Commodore 64. It looked like Doom was made of sandpaper, and it would take you about 90 minutes to get to the shotgun.
Oof.
And it looked like the screen was melting a little bit.
Okay. So I could see where that one had a bit of trouble.
Brandon testifies about the smartwatch.
Yes, I've seen it. It's in the... It's harder. Like, the guy I'm following is still working on it. It's not like a publicly available thing, but I've seen it with my eyeballs.
SanDisk MP3 player. I actually owned one of
these. I've seen that.
Which is funny. That video... You can barely see what's going on the screen. It's so grainy and fuzzy.
And
but the person has this MP3 player propped up, and as you're watching this really grainy, fuzzy, awful play of Doom, it has this really creepy music going on in the background. I don't know why.
That one is, they don't have a color screen.
Yeah.
It's on or off.
Mine actually did have a color screen.
Oh, look at you, Miss Fancy SanDisk.
Yes.
That one I find is a bit more challenging because you can't just have the texture display whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make it to where it can display on or off colors.
Which is actually exactly how I was explaining to you a knitting machine works.
Oh, yeah.
You have to tell it yes or no as far as the stitches.
And old games used to have to be that way.
A DSLR camera, which I have
I've seen that
photos of. A custom piano.
What is a custom piano?
It was a piano specifically made to run Doom, so it had a screen on it, and,
What is that even? You can just put an Arduino in a piano and then add a screen, and bam, it's a piano that can run Doom. That's not anything.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, because
I don't
keys
understand.
Were how you controlled
Oh,
Doom.
Really?
You use the
piano okay,
keys.
That's
Why
different.
Are you going to yell at me before you get all the information?
I'm yelling at the piano. I don't want this poser-ass piano coming in thinking it's all cool and shit because it can run Doom.
And then the last one is Doom.
Doom in Doom?
Doom in Doom. There was an arcade machine or something in a level of Doom, and someone got that to run Doom.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So someone was
that's
someone
beautiful.
Took a break from playing Doom to play some Doom.
That's dangerously recursive.
And someone was like, maybe someday we can play Doom in Doom in Doom.
I would totally believe that.
So do you want to cut to the ad break?
Yes, a quick word from our sponsors. Thank you.
How's your throat feel?
Not bad, actually. That wasn't too rough. Hey, people needing voice actors.
Yeah, sure. Hit me up. I'm sure that's exactly what they want.
Brandon@thelizardrock.com. That's my email. That's not our email.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm just entertained by that. So, Doom. We're kind of talking both about the very first one.
We're talking about all of it. We're going to talk about the movie.
The first, oh yeah, the movie, Dwayne.
Dwayne!
So, the Dwayne. Items of interest are basically the very first Doom, the movie, and the most recent one in 2016.
Yeah, neither of us have read any of the novelizations or the extended universe, because I'm not going full Star Wars.
I do know
on this
some
bitch.
Information about all of that, but yeah. I've not dedicated that time. The first Doom, revolutionary, helped modernize first-person shooters, one of the first 3D games, blah, 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 blah. The movie came out in, was it 2005?
I had to look. Can you look it up?
Everything
I
pulled up said 2005.
Okay, because I had between 2005 and 2008, but yeah, 2005.
So, this was back when they were trying to make movies of video games. You know, like Mortal Kombat, Resident Evil, Silent Hill.
I remember the Resident Evil movies.
You know, I've never actually watched them.
I watched them.
I watched
one
Silent
of them.
Hill one, but
it's actually got the girl. I believe she was in Run Lola Run, and then I think she like was dating Daniel Radcliffe for a while. It was either Daniel Radcliffe or Elijah Wood.
Oh my god!
I can't remember which
so
one.
So rude.
I'm sorry.
So this movie starring Dwayne the Rock Johnson. Like any action video game movie needs to, really.
God, he's so bug-eyed in that entire movie. He's, like, just got the most intense expression.
It is basically a version of the Doom story, which is more or less humans have gone to Mars. Humans have discovered a portal to hell.
Why is there a portal to hell on Mars?
I can't remember.
No one's a Christian on Mars.
That's a good point. They find out that they can utilize the energy from within hell to power their own systems. And it's
interesting.
Like, it's kind of like if we gave electric generators to the 1800s, it kind of helped boost technology along.
This sounds very American.
It is very American. Problem is, now hell is like, oh, we about to come invade.
I'm sure.
Because they're not happy with us. So, humans get possessed. Demons come out of portals.
That explains why I saw Doom guy shooting.
That is why you saw, yes, because they will get possessed and they will kind of transform into non-human-esque entities. You saw them in the 2016 version. They're the one that's a big singular eyeball. Those were people.
Okay.
They've been modified by Satan.
There was one clip from the Doom movie that I watched where they're like, maybe we can reverse his condition. And he's like, it's irreversible. And she's like, no. But he goes, no, his condition. And then he points the gun at the whatever it was.
Demon man.
Yeah. And shoots him in the face. And everyone's like, oh, no. And he's like, it's irreversible because his condition is dead.
All of its movies.
It's a five-star movie.
That's
you guys.
About how that it has. What did I say? 20% on Rotten Tomatoes.
19%.
19%.
It's a five-star movie, y'all.
There is
cinematic
a
masterpiece.
5-minute segment where it goes into a first-person perspective. And
does it?
And it has basically this cool Doom fight. That part is badass. Everything else was just so awkward.
I saw a cage fight between, of course, the only black dude in the movie. He fell into some sort of cage, I suppose, and the demon thing or whatever, he was fighting that guy, and he was doing really awesome, like, he was really kicking butt, and then he died anyway. But it was fun watching this cage match with the Doom monster
Doom
guy.
Monster.
You know what it reminded me of?
What's that?
Alien.
Well, yeah, I can believe that. It was probably... When did Alien come out? That was in the 80s, right?
Yes.
It's very possible that there was inspiration from Alien, like, in Doom itself. Lord knows it's in Metroid, but that's a different game we'll get into.
I still haven't played Metroid.
It's not bad. I beat it. It was a pain. Then there's the 2016 game, still made by id Software, the same people who made the first one.
It has some camera work unlike any other video game I've ever seen.
It is arguably one of the best games I've ever played.
Really?
It's gotten, like, amazing acclaim ever since its release, and it is deserving of all of it, because it is a perfect modernization of what Doom was.
Mm.
You were the silent protagonist. You went in, you kicked ass. You destroyed some monsters in more gruesome ways than necessary. You never stopped moving. You got cool weapons. You fought cool monsters. You saw cool landscapes. It gave you all of the excitement of intense battles in Doom while still adding in everything that modern games have come to enjoy.
Updating the graphics and
better
the
graphics,
controls.
A map system. You can find little figurines of the Doom guy. That's cute little unnecessary
The
bits.
Ultimate bitch slap that's in there.
Oh, God.
Ripping off the arm of a demon and slapping it off a bridge.
They added a new feature to where if you get a monster close enough to death, you could do a glory kill. And the purpose of this was a life-saving measure. If you killed them as a glory kill, they would drop health that you could pick up. So it actually encourages you to get deeper into the fray if you're close to death. So it makes you ride the line of intensity because of this feature, and I love it. One thing I noticed when I was playing that whatever limb you aim at when you activate the glory kill determines what move you make. So if you're looking at their left arm, yeah, you'll grab their arm, you'll rip it off, and you'll slap them in the face with it.
Yes, and that kills them.
I was telling you earlier, my favorite is if you look at their leg, you basically, you know, sweep the leg, kneecap bust them. So they fall on the ground, you grab their leg, twist it vertically, and then you crush their own face with their foot.
You are both a very strong marine fighting very pliable demons.
Very pliable demons.
Like, it seems to me that whether you're talking about the first Doom or the most recent Doom, the entire point of playing this game is to fuck shit up in the biggest way possible, because there's really, I don't even, you try to explain the storyline to me, but otherwise it's really, you're just here to just kill things in a very bloody fashion.
You don't need to know the storyline to be able to enjoy it to its maximum capacity, which is jump in the air, grab a demonic ball, and just punch his eyeball out.
Just rip it right out of there.
Break a demon's horn off and then club him with it.
Yeah, that one was nasty as hell.
It is unnecessarily gory, but it's very satisfying.
It's so, everything just gushes a fountain of blood anytime you touch it. Everyone in hell is both very pliable and like full to bursting with blood.
And the problem is the ones that aren't pliable are like the ones that you're scared of, but you're trying to. It gets harder. The giant Satan looking guy.
Yeah.
There's times we have to fight like five of them. While also things throwing fire at you and the giant eyeball dudes, and just even though it's very faithful to a very old game, it's still very well designed. Like I said, it gave you health in dangerous situations because it wanted you to ride that intensity. It gave you a chainsaw, which is an insta-kill, basically, on no matter what. I don't think it's an insta-kill on everything, but when you kill someone with a chainsaw, they drop ammunition instead.
Nice.
So it's basically saying, okay, you're out of ammo, pull out the chainsaw, kill a guy, get your ammo back, get back to killing everyone.
That's awesome.
The world, the colors are very intelligently placed. There are times in hell where you'll see remnants of human technology. It's hell. There's fire and lava and redness everywhere.
Yes.
But the human technology are green.
Ah.
So when you're in this intense fighting and whatnot, and you beat it, and you're like, okay, where do I go? You see the one green light, and you're like, I should go that way.
Sure.
It's subtle enough.
I remember you mentioning this to me before. I didn't realize that's what it was.
It's subtle enough to where it stands out and it draws your attention without being so obvious as to, hey, come over here.
Hey, listen!
Exactly.
Hey,
it's beautifully done.
Listen! Hey!
It is an incredibly well-made game. And they even added a built-in, like, level creator, which is nice, because then it extends the playability. A lot of the levels aren't that good.
Yeah.
But we've learned from Mario. Oh, God, we're going to have to talk about Mario Maker.
Yeah, that's not a, now.
Not right now.
At some point.
That'll be another episode. Whew.
So, okay. You mentioned at the beginning about how It does not play into toxic masculinity.
Right.
Please explain.
Because never does it say you have to be a man.
Oh, okay.
At no point...
You're just doing this for funsies.
They don't even refer to the Doom Marine as a male. I'm pretty sure they are, but I don't believe they ever confirm he or she. They might say he.
Hi, editing Brandon here, just letting past Brandon know that he's stupid because the first Doom game you literally have a picture of your face where you are a dude. Duh.
But the point of it is, you're never, the Doom Marine, your character, is never perceived as manly or how a man should act. It is this never-ending beast of violence. So it doesn't say that you need to be a tough manly man to be the Doom Marine. It just says you need to be a tough man. You need to be a tough entity to kick some
sure.
ass.
Which makes sense because you are going through the levels of hell. I just remembered a post I saw a very long time ago where someone was talking about the video game heroes that should have PTSD after what they've been through.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember somebody brought up the Doom Guy, and they were like, what about the Doom Guy? And they were like, no, Doom Guy is the traumatic event.
He is! That ad break is... In the most recent Doom game, you come across these... I called them effigies. I don't know what they are.
From what I know, an effigy is specifically built to burn.
I'm going to look this up. I'm going to try to talk at the same time. So excuse my word.
How about I look it up for you?
You do it then. Yeah, good idea. And when you're in this, when you're in hell, you'll touch these.
Where's your internet?
You'll touch these effigies, and a demonic voice will start telling you the tale of the Doom Slayer. And it's basically the demons telling what it was like for them when the first Doom Marine showed up. Because it was basically, we're just here doing our thing, then this guy shows up and literally kills all of us.
Oh.
What is it?
An effigy is a representation of a specific person in the form of sculpture or some other three-dimensional medium. Use of the term is normally restricted to certain contexts in a somewhat arbitrary way. Recumbent effigies on tombs are so-called, but standing statues of individuals or busts are usually not.
Okay, so I guess effigy isn't appropriate either. But it was...
I don't know. It seems a pretty loose definition to me.
It was telling this story of basically this Doom Marine shows up and kills everyone, and, like, they had to figure out how are you going to deal with this. We can't kill him. All of hell is not strong enough to stop this man.
Hell yeah!
And that's actually... That plays into the story, so I'm not going to dive any deeper. What point was I trying to make? I kind of got lost.
I was looking something
story.
Up on Google. I don't fucking know.
To the demons, he is the thing that causes PTSD.
PTSD?
Yeah, what is... PTSD.
There you go.
What is PTSD? That's a time zone.
It is not that either.
Pacific
Sonora's time decals.
Sandwich time distortion.
Yes.
You have to go back, Martin!
But, no, that is actually something that I super enjoy about Doom, is how not... Like, it's... It can't really offend anyone aside from violence, because it involves nothing other than you're just killing demons
and
monsters.
That is what I enjoy about it, and that it's just some good old-fashioned
killing.
Violence.
It's just some good old-fashioned
I understand
violence.
There's people that don't like violence in games, but...
Then don't play Doom.
In the sense of therapy, like in the therapeutic aspect,
God,
this is
like,
a real good game.
I have to wonder, because I did see the difficulty levels on 2,
oh, yeah.
And it was like...
Hurt me
I'm
plenty
too young
is my
to,
favorite.
I'm too young to die is the easy mode. Hurt me plenty is normal mode. And then, I don't remember what the hard mode
was like
called.
Extreme nightmare, then
ultra
nightmare.
No, it was like...
Ultra nightmare was the hardest one.
I know, but it was ultra something... I don't remember. Something about super hard. And then it was like nightmare mode, and then ultra super nightmare mode.
I love
which was locked. I think you can only unlock it after you play through nightmare
mode. You have to play nightmare. That's correct.
Which is awful. Why would you do any of that ever? Speedrun nightmare mode.
Oh god, I'm going to look up a speedrun of Doom. That has to be beautiful.
Oh sure, yeah. Just Brent, how do you get through it? Do you have to clear out the level before you can move on, or can you just run? You normally just have to run.
You don't normally have to, unless it's a boss.
In certain Zelda games, you can just wake up and then go to the final boss.
You can glitch the hell out of some Zelda games.
No, I'm not even talking about glitching. Like, you just wake up and
in the most recent one,
you
can go fight the boss at any time, but by going and getting all of the other dungeons first, it makes it easier for you.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I wonder if Doom is like that, where you can just wake up, grab the shotgun, and then just sprint, use that marine training.
I do believe that one is linear. You do got to go through the whole thing.
Okay.
There might be glitches.
Well, yeah. I'm not saying it's not linear. I'm just saying if you run fast enough.
Did you ever play Super Monkey Ball?
No.
Do you know of the game?
No.
Okay. Never mind then. I watched a speed run of it the other day. It was intense.
Okay.
I think we're at our point now of
Are
stopping.
We?
We've said everything, and now we're just digressing.
Doom!
Yeah,
okay.
And this music is so good, too. The music pairs really well with the unnecessary
I was so distracted by the levels and the monsters, I was not paying attention to the music.
Real good game. So, end of podcast, housekeeping. Do you want to do it, or should I?
You do it.
Okay, so this has been the Cozy Co-op talking about Doom. If you enjoyed this, give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. When our numbers go up on there, we get seen by more people, and then, you know, it's good for us and stuff. You can also find us on Google Play as well, but there's no review system. You can follow us on Twitter, at Cozy Co-op Podcast, as well as on Facebook. If you want to provide feedback, perhaps you want to suggest a game that we talk about, or give us a fun fact about what we're going to talk about next, or any of that stuff, you can tweet at us at our Twitter, or you can email us at cozycoop@thelizardrock.com. Thelizardrock.com is the website that I write at Monday through Friday. Every morning I talk about the news and whatnot. That's where we get our news chunks from. Check that place out. What game is next on our docket roster?
Mass Effect. Fucking aliens.
We're going to talk about Mass Effect next. That'll be an interesting
episode. As I've said,
episode.
BioWare games are just dating sims.
Pretty much.
With some plot.
You gotta do the outro.
Oh, I gotta do the outro?
Yeah, I did the housekeeping. You gotta
do
the outro.
I guess I'll do the outro then. Let's see if I can do the outro. That's it for today. Cozy up with us next week on the Cozy Co-op.
Outro music.
Oh, that's so beautiful.